1. Changed lives. When Pat Eberle woke up that morning and looked out at the gray skies and misty rain, she was alone for the first time in 57 years. She had known this day was coming for at least a couple of years, though that didn't really make it any easier. Merle, whom she had known since elementary school, the father of their 6 children, had died in this room in their home at 225 East Lincoln Street, and the void brought a singular kind of pain. The cancer that had been diagnosed in 2007 had finally, 4 years later, sapped his strength and ability to fight it. Though Merle never liked losing, this battle had been unwinnable. When Pat rose from the bed, each step around the room brought another memory. She had moved the bed she had shared with her husband to the north wall from the west, where it had been for a half a century. Just enough of a change to make it bearable to stay in the room. She looked at the miniature grandfather clock on the wall, the one that a former player, Mike Kurtz, had given them, made from a cherry tree cut down on Kurtz's farm in Oregon, Missouri. The pendulum of the clock was still swinging, but the hands had stopped at the time Merle's body was taken from the house. On the landing of the second floor outside the bedroom, Merle would do calisthenics first thing each morning, a series of jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. Heading down the steps, she could hear the groans of the old oak stairs, born of all those years of him running up and down for exercise, or listening for one of the kids to come home at night. She would later decide to hang the large portrait of Merle at the bottom of the stairs. Her children questioned the decision, but came to agree that it was the best place for it, because that was where Merle would stand to call up to them, mimicking reveille, or shouting, "Time to do chores," or "Quiet down up there." When Pat turned into the dining room, it was like walking into a museum of their life together, a time dominated by their love of baseball and family. She stood there, looking at their life's work in the dozens of photos hanging on each wall. There were pictures of the men who had become Major League Baseball players, like Hall of Fame shortstop Ozzie Smith, Philadelphia Phillies star Vaughn Hayes, and Buddy Black, an all-star left-handed pitcher who went on to be manager of the San Diego Padres. Smith's place on the wall was special, and one striking color photograph in particular underscored how deep their relationship was. It showed Smith midway through his signature backflip at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, a display of athleticism that had endeared him to fans and his teammates. The lighting, the focus, and the contrast were all perfect, and it looked like a photo from a magazine. In fact, that is what it was. The photo was scheduled for the cover of Sports Illustrated to note Smith's entry into the Hall of Fame, but never appeared because Ted Williams had died that week. The editors chose to put Williams on the cover instead. The photo was signed by Smith, one of only 2 copies. Most of the photographs were inscribed to Merle and Mrs. E. The players had come during college summers from across the country to a place most had never heard of, Clarinda, Iowa, to play for a man whose reputation had been spread through word of mouth by players, coaches, and scouts, a whispered kind of fame. Another wall was reserved for photos of the family, featuring the 3 sons wearing the uniforms of 3 different professional teams, posed as players do for baseball cards, and their 3 daughters, including an exhausted Jill breaking the tape after winning a race just as her father had taught her to finish, with no effort left to give. Enough reflecting, Pat thought, and promptly got busy. The only way she knew how to be, and the only way she was going to get through this day. She went through the checklist in her head. She had always been the detail person in her partnership with Merle.